certainly would give Steph the statue first. But I think, I mean, I think if KD had been here from the beginning, the conversation would be who gets one first, Steph or KD, right?
Sure.
Like that's the...
Yes. So if Kevin Durant had been here since 2009, yes.
Yeah, right. And I know that's a silly pipe dream, but I'm just saying, like, to me, that sort of... accepting very specific situations, and maybe, look, Draymond's my favorite player in the league, so over time I might come to believe that he deserves a statue more than anyone, but... if you ask me for my initial reaction, if we're talking about statues for champions, I'm giving it to the guys who I think made the biggest impact on those championship runs. And to me, it's Steph and then it's KD.
Let's say you can only have three.
That is so hard. I don't know how you would give one to Draymond or Clay and not the other. Can I just give the third to Rick Barry?
I think Rick Barry doesn't get one.
He's certainly not as beloved. I'll tell you that much, but...
no disrespect to Rick Barry, the player.
I feel like...
I don't think Rick Barry gets one.
If you're building statues in front of the new Warriors building, I think you do owe Rick Barry a statue. I don't think Wilt Chamberlain quite counts, because he played, what, 2 years? 2.5 years in San Francisco? It's not that he wasn't great, but that's really not... they didn't win anything, and he was here for a very short time. So that, to me, is different than Rick Barry, who brought you the only championship in your organization's history before this run. Let's go to Ray in Vallejo. What's up, Ray?
Yeah, it boggles my mind how much hate KD gets.
Me too.
He came, and as soon as he came, we went on this tear. And he gets the most hate. I remember when LeBron was going to go to the Lakers. And everyone was hating on LeBron, blah, 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 because he's going to replace Kobe or whatever. It kind of reminds me of that same situation. Are we that spoiled here that we're talking down to one of the greatest to ever play? We're blessed to have him here. And it just blows my mind how much hate he gets. And I like that he says he wants a statue. That means that he wants to stay. That sounds like it's a foresight for longevity.
Yeah, you can certainly interpret it that way. To me, what it at least is it's what he's been doing all along, which is, you know, giving you enough nuggets that it seems reasonable he'd stay, but never committing to anything, so it also seems reasonable he might leave. And I think that's where he wants to live, and that's where he's going to live all season long. There's no reason for him to give you any real indication either way, and I don't think he, frankly, has decided yet.
No.
Let's go to Justin in Oakland. What's up, Justin?
Hey, man. The first statue I'd put up would be the guy who runs the show.
And
the guy who's been to the NBA several times. And I'd put that statue up first.
So
then you can put and pick your three little boys, whichever ones you want.
So who do you
can
who's
pick
the statue
Steph
up?
Sorry, Justin, obviously. Just to be clear, you're talking about Steph first?
No. How about the coach?
Okay.
Put the coach up first.
Okay.
Make it like Bill Walsh. Make it like something that was important, that you knew that this guy actually was in the NBA. He went to the NBA finals twice. I think he won three times.
And you're talking about Steve Kerr?
That's where
Steve Kerr won five rings as a player.
Let's put up a headstone. And yes, I'm with you. I was listening to Steiny in the morning, and I was thinking, you know what, if you want, you can go and put some handprint, pancake prints in for the young boys.
All right, I lost track of what Justin was saying there at a certain point. I don't think Steve Kerr is getting a statue. Let's leave it at that. 925, if you can only build three of this team, you have Steph, KD, and a shot of when Draymond caught Clay and prevented him from falling over. I like that. That's squeezing all four into three statues.
That's probably how you'd have to do it.
Great work. Somebody also said you could go Steph, KD, and Kerr, which that would be a little weird to me. That would be a little weird. And I think if you go statues beyond Steph, it's got to be all four, I guess is what I would say. If we're talking statues... Steph, to me, is pretty obvious.
Even if Durant leaves.
Well, I guess if Durant leaves and they win three more in a row, it's a different conversation. But I think if Durant leaves, it's going to be an awful lot tougher.
If Durant leaves and they win no more championships.
I think then Durant is in there. I do. Again, assuming they win this year. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. A little bit of time before we get to Tim Roy coming up at 11:30. We'll finish off this KD topic. What's up, Nick?
Hey, you guys. Hey, man, putting KD through the truth machine, man, I think he's talking about immortality, man. Like when we were little kids, I used to look back and look at the Celtics, like winning all those championships, and you're just like, oh, my God, like how do they do it? You know what I mean? But it's like, I think that's what he's referring to. And KD didn't have to sign with the Warriors, but he did. So he's here. So we need to stop speculating and celebrate this because it's not going to last forever. And I'm going to tell you, man, KD's not going anywhere, man. You know, he's stirring the pot right now. Somebody's got to stir the pot. And it's great talk, but what he was referring to is immortality, man. Like when people look in the annals of sports history, they're going to be like these guys, man, that they did it, man. And I think that's more important than anything individual. And I don't think they're going to throw it away for a few dollars when they're already really rich.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I think you're right, and I think the biggest thing Nick said that confuses me a little bit about all the responses is. Like this is a let's enjoy this while we have it situation, no matter how long it lasts. And hopefully we don't get lost from that point. An interesting text from a 925. Do you think the Patriots talk about statues?
Probably.
Yes. 100% they do. Yes. So yes, they do. Absolutely. Every Patriots fan has had a conversation about the Brady statue and the Belichick statue. I promise you.
And for them, it's probably just Brady and Belichick.
I think so. But the difference, and you know, to your point earlier, at the United Center, there is no Scottie Pippen statue. There is no Phil Jackson statue. There is Michael Jordan and actually Stan Mikita and Bobby Hull. So I think part of the issue is statue standards have changed, right? Back in the day, we didn't used to have these conversations at this point, but things have changed. Jonathan in San Jose, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. With the KD situation, you know, with being one of the greats, which he most definitely is one of the greats, you know, there's going to be a lot of hatred coming with that. And behind everyone hating on KD, look what he's done for us. You know, he's not only brought us rings, but he's helped us acquire rings.
Yep.
And, you know, there's just not enough respect going around for KD. I get it. Steph came. Steph was doing his thing. But where would Steph be without KD? Where would he be without Draymond? I mean, they're all a working cog. They all need each other. Now, what if KD were to go to a different team? Would he excel like this? My guess is probably. He's KD.
Yes. We saw it. He did it in Oklahoma City. That's one of the craziest things, but I don't think Jonathan was disagreeing with that. I think he's saying, yes, KD would thrive elsewhere. But one of the craziest things I've heard involving the KD conversation over the last few years is, well, if he went somewhere else, it wouldn't be. Yes, we watched it already. KD is one of the all-time greats. And
yeah,
there is a level at which I start to get fed. And thanks for the call, Jonathan. I start to get fed up with the. It's one thing to honestly say, I feel different because he wasn't here when it started. But the sort of disrespect for his game, that confuses me.
I think you could make the case that if Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City in 2016, they're the favorite coming into the year.
They were up 3-1 over the Warriors in that playoffs.
Kevin Durant may have a championship without the Warriors in the last 2 years.
That's exactly right. He almost had a championship several years before that when he was, 23 or something? Like, Kevin Durant.
It very easily could have been Warriors 15, Cavs 16, Oklahoma City with Durant 17.
And frankly,
Houston 18.
And if they hadn't traded James Harden prematurely, maybe they already would have had a title before he ever came here. So the notion that KD needs the Warriors to be great is plumb insane. Just ridiculous. Speaking of which, we're rolling right along. A lot of people have things to say about KD. We are here for you. Tim Roy will be here for you at 11:30. For now, your texts, your phone calls. 888-957-9570. Kolsky and JD on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wednesday on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. And Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Here's Steinmetz and Guru.
actually. Here's Kolsky and JD in for Steinmetz and Guru today and tomorrow, and on a Warriors Wednesday, going hard on the Warriors. KD told Chris Haynes he thinks he and Steph and Draymond and Clay, he actually mentions Iguodala and Livingston when he's talking about it. He says he knows for a fact their jerseys are getting retired and they could all get statues, so we've been tossing it out to you. Do you think they all get statues? Some of them get statues? Do you hate statue discussion? All these responses are available to you.
I think there's a different level between a jersey being retired and a statue.
Totally.
I think a statue is a bigger deal, frankly.
Frankly, just physically, it's a bigger deal. Yeah. But also, it really says you are an indelible part of our history and legacy. That's what it is.
Like, to me, it's a no-brainer that Curry and Thompson and Green and Durant get their jerseys retired.
I think that, you win two or three titles, you're getting a jersey retirement.
And you're one of the greatest players to ever play the game as well.
Right.
And teams, you know, great players have their jerseys retired multiple places.
Totally.
You know.
Totally.
So that's in play as well with this thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Durant should get his jersey retired in Oklahoma City.
I think he will. And 9 years of all-star play.
Yes, I think he will. And maybe things have already thawed a little bit down that road.
Once Russell leaves, then they can retire Durant's jersey.
Well, they're going to both of those guys are getting retired.
Of course. Russ will, yeah.
But I think those guys, and I think you could actually even, depending upon how far the Warriors want to go with it, I think you could even consider Iguodala for a jersey retirement.
Someone made the point earlier, and I completely agree, people have really forgotten not just how effective he is, because obviously he has the finals MVP and everyone knows what he means to the Warriors in the playoffs, but how big a deal it was when he chose to come here. Because it was a trade for him, but he had to buy in.
And the Warriors didn't have cap space, so he had to say, I want to go there, make it happen, people.
And granted, they were a lot better than the Niners are right now, but from a philosophical how the person makes their decision standpoint, it wasn't that different from what Richard Sherman did this year, saying, I believe in this organization and its direction right now, I believe in the guys who are in charge here, and I want to be here. And that made a huge difference for the Warriors franchise. So I'm with you. I think Iguodala probably ends up in there as well. Let's knock out a few of these phone calls before we talk to Tim Roy at 11:30. Brett in Campbell. What's up, Brett?
How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
You there?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, listen, I understand the statue and the retiring of the jerseys. How about something like a statue for Curry and the staple of the Warriors image and maybe Rick Barry. But what about monument, like a facial monument, like the president, you know, have the certain like Iguodala can get in there. Or if you're not going to retire his jersey, do something of a facial monument like our president. How about something like that?
That's interesting. I'm not sure there's a local mountain that would want to be carved up like that.
You could build one into the ceiling of the arena.
I know he didn't mean cut up Mount Diablo. I'm just kidding. yes, you could do any. There are lots of different ways to do it. I'm not sure the specific method is the issue.
Just have those faces looking down.
Like I said, I'd put Steph Curry 50 feet tall on the side of the building. It's his building. He did this. Someone on the text line is very concerned about the disrespect we're giving Steph, saying that we're saying the Warriors are nothing without KD. I certainly didn't intend to say that. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying winning these last two titles would have been significantly more difficult. And I don't think that's a dramatic statement or a controversial one.
I don't either. But to the Stephen Curry point specifically, if you can only pick one person to put a statue of,
We're all for Steph.
It's unanimous.
Yes.
Like his MVP a couple of years ago.
Exactly. Nobody disagrees with that. Nobody at all. Someone also made the point that If KD stays, he may never be an originator per se, but why can't he be someone like Shaq, who had a tremendous early career in Orlando and then really is remembered as a Laker because that's where he went and won his titles. And I think if KD does hang around, then certainly that is probably how he will be remembered more or less as a Warrior.
If he stays.
If he stays, but we don't know what's happening there yet.
If he doesn't stay, that legacy gets a little murky as far as what and who he's remembered for.
Then
unless he does, unless he goes and wins three championships with the next team.
Well, then it sort of becomes like the, you know, whose hat does so-and-so wear going into the World Series thing when you win
going into the Hall
when you win a World Series with multiple teams. Let's go to Kevin in Vallejo. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
All right, so for the statue talk, I'm going to just bring these 2 points into it. The Warriors have two slogans, game recognized game and strength in numbers. So for the strength in numbers, you obviously have to put Curry, Clay, and Dre in there. And I'd say for the statue for KD, only if he stays for 5 years minimum. And then game recognized game just basically means paying homage to, you know, the past. So past Warriors, like you guys were saying, Rick Barry and Chamberlain. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. I just don't know that Chamberlain has the actual Bay Area Warriors legacy to get involved in this conversation. Let's go to Jim in Martinez. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Just a couple quick points real quick. As someone that's been a Warriors fan for 50 years, the idea that we're even having this conversation is so utterly, unbelievably cool. But I hate the conversation because I hope that in my mind, you can't have if I bought the stadium right now and plugged it down, how are you going to not have Rick Barry, Franklin Muley, the current owners who created this, Steve Kerr, but these players, we saw Kevin Durant for 10 years, and all I could always think was, man, I wish that guy was on our team.
Yeah.
And then we end up getting Steph, Clay, Draymond. It's like they're all my kids. 1 minute I'm like, my favorite player, my favorite player, my favorite player. You throw in guys like Livingston and David West and obviously Iguodala. I'm going to the game tonight. I'm going to be cheering so hard for all those guys. And you know what? Like Rick Barry said when he was on the other day, we're so blessed. They're all good guys. It's being a Warriors fan through the desert of 40 years and having this going on, man, we just got to sit back appreciating and go, wow, what did we do to deserve this? Well, I know what I did. I had 40 years of heartache, man.
Yeah. Thanks,
Jim. That's a great point.
It's true, and I think there are a lot of Warrior fans who lived through not even necessarily all 40 of those years, but maybe just 15 or 20 of them who still are basking in the glow of just – look at what's happening to us, of all people, to us, who were just the desert of the NBA forever.
You could make a case, what, maybe 99, 2000, 2000, 2001, 2001, 2002. That's probably worth about 10 years.
Yeah, the 20-win stretches. It's just brutal. You were literally watching 60 losses a year.
97, 98, probably too.
Ugh. Oof. And, by the way, stadium almost always full. And I think with the changing demographics of Oracle, which will only be more dramatic at Chase Center, I think that's been lost a little bit. People don't talk as much about the environment as they used to, but it's still a heck of a building. It still gets super loud, and all those people who filled it when the team stunk are still rooting for this team and sort of deserve the credit for doing that, I think. Brett in Richmond, your thoughts on the statue issue.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. So, my whole thing about the statues is, like one of the other callers said, it has gotten a little watered down, per se. You know what I'm saying? I came up in the era of Jordan and all those guys, so it was a different era, and those guys really, really had to work to get to where they got to. Not saying the new guys don't, but it was a little bit different era. I love Kevin Durant. I love that he came over to the Warriors. And anybody who is not championing this team to stay together is a fool. Kevin's not going anywhere. He's got plenty of money. We're winning titles, and there's no reason for him to leave. And about the football thing with, you know, the 49er Raider thing or whatever, I am a diehard Raider fan, born and raised in the area. My sister was a Raiderette for 7 years. I've been going to the game since I was a kid. I love my Raiders. When they move, it's going to be a little harder to root for them, but I still will root for them. And as far as the Niners, I hate the Niners. Love Joe Montana as a quarterback. You guys have a great day, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brett. And that last thing is kind of what JD's point was. It doesn't really matter the count or anything. Joe Montana was the king of Bay Area football, period. End of story.
Period. End of story.
Yes. Last phone call before we get to Tim Roy. Quickly, TC, you have 30 seconds to share your thoughts.
Okay. Number one, I do not think Durant deserves a statue, maybe a retired uniform.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, maybe. Steph, for sure.
Okay.
That's my 30 seconds, huh?
That was good, concise.
Didn't even
right
need 30.
To the point. You did it in about 17, and all credit to him, because that means we get to Tim Roy right on time. Tim Roy, Warriors Vox, joins us right now. Of course, we'll be calling the game tonight as the Raptors visit Oracle Arena. Tim, we've been throwing around the statue discussion after Kevin Durant brought it up with Chris Haynes. I don't want to put you on the spot to say who's getting a statue or not, but let me put it this way. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Warriors win a title this year and Kevin Durant leaves. Do you think he will sort of always carry with Warriors fans the label of he was not really one of ours?
No, I can't see how you would take a guy who's won two NBA Finals Most Valuable Players for your franchise and not accept him as one of your own. That just is mind-boggling to me. And if these guys don't get statues, then you should never put up statues, because this is one of the best runs in American sports history. And to me, it's whatever accolades and awards and honors that, you know, the core group gets out of this, they deserve every bit of it.
And how unique is this Warriors situation? Because it's not just one guy or two. I mean, I think everybody would say, okay, if you have to pick one guy, it would be Stephen Curry, just because he's been here the longest, and he was the first guy.
He was the catalyst. He got it in motion, and his dedication to his craft took him from being a guy that we thought was going to be a great shooter and a pretty good passer in the NBA to a guy that's a multiple most valuable player and maybe, you know, the biggest game changer this game has seen in quite some time.
But I just want to kind of to build off of that. How unique is this situation, though, because of things like strength in numbers, because of how much Draymond Green and Klay Thompson have meant, because of even how much certainly Kevin Durant has meant and guys like Iguodala and Livingston have meant? It's almost going to have to go down as five or six guys.
You know, it's funny, because I think when I was listening to you guys talk about the statue bit, to me what was interesting was that, you know, I think when you're talking about the core four, if you will, of, you know, Curry, Thompson, Draymond, Durant, okay, you talk about those guys, then, obviously each and every one of them deserves some sort of, you know, memorial, whatever you want to decide. Putting a Warrior logo on top of Mount Diablo, probably not a good idea. though it would be a nice thing to look at as I drove home at night.
Right?
That would be nice, yeah.
Shine a big spotlight on it. It could look really cool.
Exactly. You could see it from space. But to me, maybe, you know, and on top of that, because of what you said, because it's been strength in numbers, you know, maybe there'll be some other memorial, maybe like what we see on the cover of Sports Illustrated, where everybody's there reaching up for the Larry O'Brien trophy. Maybe it's something like that, you know, where it kind of embodies that, yeah, we had superstars, we had these guys, but also it was a collective, you know, franchise effort from guys like, you know, Mo Spates and Leandro Barbosa to maybe guys like Jonas Jerebko this year.
Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, joining us on 95.7 The Game, where you, of course, will hear Tim again around about 7:30 tonight when the Dubs host the Raptors. Before we get to the Raptors, though, I just want to quickly ask you about what day is it now? Was it Monday night's game? Yes, Monday night's game when they hosted the Timberwolves. It was a weird game to me, being in the building, because, yes, they won, and in fact, I would say they were in pretty clear control virtually the whole way, but both when you look at the box score at the end and just to be there watching, it was a little off. Things were a little off, particularly offensively, and in my mind, it was sort of the perfect game, as Draymond is returning, to look at and go, oh, this is the difference with Draymond, is they can sort of have an off night, and he just pulls that defense together in a way that they're going to win fairly easily anyway.
Well, you know, I think also, too, though, you have to look at Minnesota, You know, so coming in, what had they done? They were 9-4 in their last 13 games after the trade of Jimmy Butler. Their defensive numbers way up. Covington, they get an all-league defensive player in Covington. And so I looked at it a little bit the other way, too. I thought what I saw from Minnesota for the first time maybe in this group's run with the Timberwolves, a collective, you know, will and stubbornness that they weren't going to go away. That they, you know, and yeah, the Warriors could have played better offensively, could have been, you know, a little more crisp on the offensive end. There's no doubt about that. But I think Minnesota did a lot in that game to stay in the game. And I was impressed by that, because there are times where they could have very easily rolled over in that game and made it a 20-point deficit, but they didn't do that. And so I'm going to keep my eye a little bit on them too as well, if they continue this, you know, string of high level of play, you know, since that Jimmy Butler trade.
Tim, how exciting is the matchup tonight? I know Kawhi Leonard didn't play against the Clippers, but Toronto last night, they ran the Clippers right out of Staples Center, and they're playing very well. Obviously, a rematch of the game a couple of weeks ago where the Warriors had to play shorthanded and ultimately fell in overtime. But just there aren't a lot of matchups that you just circle and circle and circle. Tonight, at least on the surface, is one of them. Just kind of break down the matchup and the excitement level for this game against Toronto. Best in the West, best in the East.
Yeah, it's a very, very exciting matchup. And, you know, if it's anywhere close to the game in Toronto, then you want to make sure you have it right here on 95.7, because it's going to be a great game. They are a team that's ranked, you know, in the top 10 in both rating categories, offense and defense. And that shows you that it's a team that doesn't just have one thing that they do well. They have multiple things. Kawhi Leonard, you know, he has changed the way they go about their business. And, you know, they were a good core, and DeRozan was a good player. But when you add a guy that was a former defensive player of the year, and then, you know, behind him you've got guys like Ibaka and Siakam, and then Kyle Lowry, who looked like he kind of broke out of his little funk last night in L.A., he's, you know, just a pro's pro. He's you know, taking a career where he was, you know, a backup in Memphis to Mike Conley to Houston, and then he gets to Toronto and has made that his home, made that team his own. So, you know, he's a really good player, and they've got a dynamic young coach in Nick Nurse. So all that together, and the fact that you know, they're really taking no prisoners right now. What they did to the Clippers last night was really impressive, because that's a Clipper team that has played hard and played well, you know, throughout the year, and without a superstar. You know, it's a team of a lot of really good players, but no, you know, great, unbelievable players. And so to handle them the way they did on the road without Kawhi, that's a scary thing.
And yeah, and you mentioned their new coach, Nick Nurse, and I'm curious, just as someone who's probably watched a little more of this than I have at this point, that is there something that jumps out to you? Because it's not like Dwayne Casey did a bad job. Obviously,
no,
he was coach
no,
of the year.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Nick Nurse really seems to have changed something fundamentally in terms of the level this team plays at, and I'm just wondering if there's anything that jumps out to you from his adjustments.
Well, I think in combination with you know, their front office, I think they recognized a couple of different things, that they didn't need to have a set in stone lineup. And so what have they done? At times Valanciunas now is coming off the bench and they start Ibaka. What does that do? It gives Pascal Siakam a chance to breathe a little bit and become this player that, you know, he's doubled up on his scoring average. He's shooting the highest percentage of his career, both from the field, the 3-point line. He is a guy that can rebound the ball a little bit better. So what he's done, I think, along with Leonard, I don't think you can,
of course,
you can't oversell his import to all of this, but I think what Nick Nurse has done is kind of read the roster and figured out how to not only get growth out of a couple of his young players, but also keep everybody engaged. And I think by starting Serge Ibaka, that gets him going a lot more than coming off the bench. And Valanciunas, I think, you know, he is what he is, and he does what he does. So I don't think it affects his game as much as coming off the bench for Ibaka.
Tim, let me gauge your concern level over Iguodala missing a second consecutive game.
Well, you know, there's always a concern when he misses a game because he's a glue guy, and he's like your organizer. He's like a guy in football that maybe on the defensive side that maybe he doesn't have the legs he had when he was 24, but he's right in the middle of the defense and he gets everybody lined up in the right spot, and he knows how to get guys going and knows how to motivate people. And so you take away that kind of IQ, that's tough to replace. And, especially for the second unit, that means, Steve Kerr has to keep an eye on that second unit just a little bit more, and maybe change the rotation just a little bit because he won't have that guy that can settle things down for him.
Speaking of that guy, obviously you mentioned it when I asked about Nick Nurse. Kawhi is that guy in Toronto, and whether or not he plays tonight aside, he has missed some time. He hasn't played any back-to-backs, and of course, that's off the table since he missed last night. It wouldn't be a back-to-back if he played tonight. But I also feel like when I watch him, as much as he is one of the best players in the league and potentially a leading MVP candidate and incredibly impactful and effective, he's still not physically the guy we saw when he was at his best in San Antonio. And I'm wondering if you're seeing the same and if you think that's just a matter of adjustment, or maybe is Kawhi just no longer that quite so physically dominant as he used to be?
I don't know. The game he played in Toronto, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making shots. He was making plays on defense. I think they're being really, overly cautious with him. And I think they're making sure that he is in a good frame of mind because they want him in a great frame of mind. They want him to be happy about being in Toronto and to re-sign with them in the offseason. So I think they're being a little extra cautious. But I will, you bring up an interesting point because hip injuries, I think, look at Kevon Looney. It took mm-hmm. him, 2 years, really, to get over the hip surgeries?
Yeah.
And to get his body right? And maybe he's not the same explosive athlete that maybe he was before those surgeries. Those do take a toll, and so maybe he's not as physically dominant as he was. But I think when he's healthy and he's right, he's still good enough to take over games and to dictate what other teams have to do.
No question about that. Hopefully he is on the floor tonight and we can get a nice little test for the Warriors. Tim, have a wonderful call. Thanks for taking the time to hang with us.
So who gets the first statue for 95-7? That's the question.
Well, it's either Townie or JD. They've been here the whole time.
There you go.
Whoever was in on the ground floor, that's how it works.
It's Townie's got about 5 days on me.
All right, there it is. Technically, thank you, Tim. We appreciate it, man. Technically, JD, I also entered with Townie. It's just, I think once you get shown the door and have to come back several years later, it's not, you don't get that statue anymore.
Hey, but not everybody's welcomed back.
That's true. That's true. I feel gratified and honored to have been bestowed with that possibility. What a weird way for me to say that. Let's get into something new with KD, because he apparently is in the midst of another one of these media tours that he's taking, and I know a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about what it means. Oh, KD's fragile. Oh, KD, he's on Instagram too much. Why is he involved with this stuff?
I think he just likes talking hoop.
I'm with you.
And I think he likes the gossip stuff, too.
Yeah, I think he likes the attention. Most of us do. But I think more than anything, he likes talking hoop with hoop people. And when hoop people, which Chris Haynes and Bill Simmons both certainly qualify, are like, hey, man, want to sit down and talk hoop for a while? He's like, yeah. And then they ask him a question that he should have expected, but somehow didn't. And he sometimes gives too honest of an answer. And that's how we get into these situations, yeah. I think. But this is a long cut. It's nearly 2 minutes, but it is very relevant to what we've been talking about. And certainly, KD is going to give you a piece of his mind.
Like, you could be the Russell Celtics for this decade. Why wouldn't you do that? I don't know. Why is anything else considered?
I'm really just trying to enjoy every day of it. And if you, like, people like you continue to ask me, like, why won't you just...
What a buzzkill of a conversation.
Yeah, I'm first in San Francisco looking at the
first
Bay Bridge.
I resent the people like you.
And you're like, why don't you even think about leaving? I'm like, damn, this moment is
I didn't say
cool
leaving.
Right now.
Didn't say leaving. Didn't say leaving.
That's so what you were getting at.
Didn't
you're
say
ordinary.
Leaving.
That's what you were getting at.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
So regular,
why would you leave
bro.
This? I'm like, I'm enjoying this right now. Why would you just invade my space?
I just brought you a water, man.
Yeah, bro.
It was kind
nice
of a heat check
on the table. Were
No, back to my question. Man, like you realize up. Now, this could be like Russell's.
Give it a break.
No, I'm going to this
shut
one part.
This off, man.
I'm going to this one part.
Go ahead.
Like this really has a chance to be an all-time run now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be mad at you if that doesn't keep going. That's all I'm saying. This is like once in 20 years.
At you that this is the last podcast.
Oh, stop it.
I'm just kidding. Because
now it's like if you win this year, now you're talking MJ's Bulls, Russell Celtics.
That goes back to legacy. What I tell you about legacy.
This is it, though. You're talking every 25 years.
I know, but I'm just like I said, I am just enjoying, like, I know this is on the horizon, like, if we handle our business, but, like, what I've enjoyed the last 2 years is just doing stuff like this, like, the everyday of living in the Bay and playing for the Warriors. Like, that's what I'm enjoying, is just being an everyday Warrior, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not even trying to even go there.
A lot of talk about it, though, Rich.
That's a lot of talk.
I had to bring it up. Don't stink eye me.
First of all. A lot going on there, Matt.
Yeah, first of all, the voice in the background saying most of the reckless stuff is Rich Kleiman, who is KD. I don't think agent. He's like a business partner and his dude, basically. Potential future GM of the Knicks. Keep your eyes open. Anyway, I think the first thing to take from this, and I think it plays right into what we said leading into it about why we think Kevin Durant does this stuff, is most of what's happening there is dudes having fun in a basketball conversation. It's playful. It's a little bit silly. Simmons is asking a question he feels he has to ask. And by the way, credit to The Ringer and the Bill Simmons podcast where we get that audio from. He's asking a question he feels he has to ask based on news. And he's presenting it as playfully as possible. And Kevin Durant handles it basically the same way. And again, does what he's done all along, which is give you reasons to believe he'll stay and reasons to believe he might not, and not commit to anything.
And I think where Durant gets frustrated is sometimes when it takes on a life of its own.
Yes.
When something fun and innocent and not really all that revealing becomes he's staying, he's
right.
leaving, he hates this guy, he loves that guy.
And I get that.
And then he has to answer questions about that
in a
more, you know, formal setting than the loose nature of a podcast with Chris Haynes or
a podcast
with Bill Simmons.
I think that is the nail on the head, JD, because what's happening there is he's in his own house, sitting in a living room, drinking, they say, water, but I have my suspicions, and shooting the crap. And when you're standing against a wall with 35 people sticking iPhones in your face, and someone wrote a headline that said,
after a game.
Right. After you just exercised for 2 hours and someone wrote a headline that took something you said that was relatively innocent and drew a ridiculous conclusion, and then a third person asks you about how you feel about that conclusion, look, I understand being like, I don't want to talk about this, even though you're kind of lying because clearly you do want to talk about it. It's just you don't want to talk about it in that forum, and that's his right.
That is his right.
He's allowed to do that.
And he's allowed to have fun and want on one end, and he's allowed to get frustrated on the other end. See, I don't have a problem with any of it.
No, me neither.
Now, if somebody wants to ask the question, I think that's also fair.
Totally. But I also think part of our, not just not having a problem with it, I don't know about you, I love this stuff. And I think part of that is because this is what I do for a living, and I think when he gives us stuff to talk about, it's that much more exciting. And even though I realize I don't know Kevin Durant personally, and I don't have any truly deep insight into interpreting his comments, it's what I do, and I certainly am going to try it, and that's fun to me. But at the same time, I can understand where it stops being fun to him at a certain point, and I don't really have a problem with him picking and choosing what he wants to say and when he wants to address things and when he doesn't.
The one thing we know for sure out of both of these podcasts, the one with Chris Haynes, the one with Bill Simmons, we are no closer to knowing what he's going to do come July than we were a day ago before any of this dropped.
If there's one thing it indicates, I think it's that you and I are correct in that he doesn't know yet.
Right.
He's doing everything he can to not think too much about it and not make that decision yet. Now, he's going to obviously think about it somewhat.
And also to enjoy the time that he has left here, whether it's part of an 8-year journey or whether it's part of what ultimately is a 3-year journey.
And I think in that way, he's like the most reasonable Warrior fans who are saying, yeah, I realize things could change dramatically at the end of the year, but right now we're the best team in basketball, as we have been for most of the last 5 years. We are rolling again with everybody healthy. We're the presumptive title favorites, and I'm going to have some fun. And, you know, I think that's a pretty good way to approach it, all things considered.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
What's interesting is how often it gets interpreted as the wrong way
he gone
to approach it. Or, oh, see, now I know what he's doing. Now that he said that thing, I've fully interpreted his life plan for the next 9 months. And I think it is natural for fans to do that sort of stuff, but it's based on nothing for the most part. Speaking of which, we don't know whether Kawhi Leonard plays tonight for the Toronto Raptors.
And that's this whole game for me.
It is, right? Because if he doesn't play, I mean, look, the Warriors, without Steph or Draymond, hung tough in a game in Toronto where Kawhi did play, and to Tim Roy's point earlier, played very well. If Kawhi doesn't play tonight, and they're on the back end of a road back-to-back,
and they already got a win...
Yeah, it does not project to be a particularly thrilling contest. If Kawhi does play and he's reasonably fresh, it's another test for a Warriors team that could use some at full health.
And Kawhi's dealing with a hip too, so this is not like it's a scenario where they're picking a game on a back to back like last night, as they've done throughout the course
they have
of the
said,
season.
Right, they've sat him out and just had rest as the reason.
Exactly.
Right.
So this is a little bit different. I think that probably makes it less likely that Kawhi plays tonight, but we'll find out probably right around 6 o'clock when Nick Nurse meets with the media at Oracle Arena. If Kawhi Leonard plays, I think this is the game with the most anticipation so far this season at Oracle Arena. If Kawhi doesn't play, it's just another game.
I think that's the one caveat I might say is the Bucks were like that, but then Draymond got hurt and the Warriors got killed, so it didn't really pan out.
I want to see, and look, my takeaway from the game in Toronto was, hey, the Warriors play really well in Toronto the last few
Steph
years.
Steph in particular.
And I think the nature of how they were able to keep that game close and nearly steal it, even down two of the All-Stars.
Yeah.
I like the Warriors in a matchup in a playoff series against Toronto, period. So one of the takeaways was I think the Raptors are going to have a difficult time if they got to face the Warriors. But, I mean, I want to see what it looks like with everybody going. I want to see full strength.
That's the bummer of it. You want to see full strength, and this is the last matchup of the season, right? I mean, they don't play them again in the regular season. And I'm not one who thinks they'll be in the finals, although obviously they are atop the East right now. I do think, and this plays right into what we've said about the matchup tonight, does Kawhi Leonard mean more to the Raptors than any one player means to their team anywhere in the NBA? And I know he didn't play and they won last night, but over the long term, it's him and LeBron are the two that jump to my mind.
Yeah, and they've won some games without him this year, too.
They have.
But as far as big picture, can you win the whole thing? I mean,
they go from a potential title
can
team.
Can they win the East?
Right.
Let's say even.
I don't think so.
No, probably not. I think that's a good take.
This is a guy who basically didn't play last year.
I think Westbrook with Oklahoma City's up there, too. I know they have Paul George. But...
Yeah. The Raptors of the elite teams in the NBA, though, might have the worst second-best player, if that makes sense.
I think they have better players than you think.
They have a lot of good players. But who's the second-best player? Lowry? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I guess the Lakers might not have someone better. It depends how you like some of their young guys.
But they have good players 2 through 8.
Yes. They have very good players, maybe 2 through 10 or something like that. And a coach who really, really seems to be on to something. And it's always so hard to tell, especially when a principal piece changes, like Kawhi did, DeRozan for Kawhi, which is an obvious upgrade. Interesting text before we get out of here. Tell me what you think about this in our last minute. KD would own Kawhi head-to-head.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I think Kawhi does the best job of anybody in the NBA other than maybe Giannis
or
defending Kevin Durant.
I would add a motivated and active LeBron to that.
Although we haven't really seen that in a while.
Well, not during the regular season, but I think for a possession here and there in finals, we've seen
a possession here or there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kawhi and Giannis can do it
for a whole game.
Yeah.
Well,
I think a whole game.
I agree. And Kawhi to me is just, he's a better defender. Giannis has the physical advantage. Kawhi and Draymond are the two best defenders in the NBA in my mind in terms of defensive skills as opposed to just size and shape.
No argument for me on that one.
Well, that's a good place to end the show then, I think. We got Warriors basketball tonight. Raptors in town. Hopefully Kawhi on the floor just so we can see it, because boy, do I want to see it. And, of course, coming up next, the Afternoon Delight. Bonte Hill and Greg Papa guiding you through the afternoon. We have any hot tips on guests? No? All right. Oh, Saintly and Bontemps. Going to be a delightful afternoon on 95.7 The Game.